All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I don't know who's in the tape room. Just maybe my voice. It sounds a little bit heavy to me there. But anyway, kind of watch out for it, fellas. If it needs adjusting, make sure you turn it the right way. All right. Genesis chapter 1. We got into it a little bit the other day, but I'm going to start two or three lessons, maybe four. I'm not sure what it'll take till I feel like I've kind of covered it. I'm on, I guess you could give it a title, Biblical Signs, and I'm going to try to lay a little foundation this morning. Now, a lot of you have heard on TV, and a lot of preachers are talking about 2014 and 15, because a lot of signs in the heavens. The blood moons are going to show up in 2014 and in 2015. I spoke on those, taught on them. I don't remember if it was on a Wednesday night or in Sunday school. It's been several years, at least five or six, maybe seven or eight, the way time passes with me anymore. But now we're getting close to what we were talking about, showing up and happening. And so a lot of folks are excited about it. Now, none of us know when the Lord is coming. We don't claim to. And I do not believe there's any signs we have to look for that must be fulfilled before what we call the rapture, the mysterious calling away of God's people. It could happen any time. And so we're not looking for those signs. Most of the signs, when we start talking about prophecy and start talking about signs, most everybody figures that all has to do with the second coming of Christ. And basically so. But there's signs of a lot of things. There's a lot of wars predicted in the Bible. There's a lot of other events. Some of them have been fulfilled. Almost all of them have been fulfilled. Just like there was 300 prophecies concerning Christ's first coming. They were all fulfilled by the time he came and lived and died and arose. And so many of the prophecies in the Bible have been fulfilled. Never, of course, it goes without saying, never have so many been fulfilled as the day and time that we live in, because we'd look back. We got more of a back trail to look back on and compare and see. I've been pastoring now 43 years here, 3 years at Little Country Church in Sumter County. That added up, that's 46. 46 years. Did this thing squeal? Maybe it was me. Bible says when you get older, your voice comes up like a bird's. How many of you know that? A few other things, too. I read Ecclesiastes. But anyway, maybe that's what happened. Anyway, with all of that said, the long time I've pastored, I preached things in the early beginning that I have seen come, fulfilled, and become history. Because that's what happens after it's fulfilled. And so I'm just going to try to lay a little bit of a foundation this morning. Look at a few scriptures. We're not any preacher that gets up to preach. Now, I know some of you don't believe what I'm fixing to say. But he is time conscious. He knows he's got a period of time to say what he wants to say and get through. And some of you are so gracious, you'll come and say, just keep going, but you don't mean it. And preachers know you don't mean it. So they realize there's a package that you got to get in, get up, say it, get through. And so I'm always conscious of that. The thing about it in Sunday school is I can chop it off and go back and try to pick it up and chop it off and go back and try to do it again. And so that's kind of what I'll be doing today. And I'm going to ask you to go to Genesis 1 and just look at verse 14. Just to lay this fact, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, you understand your calendars are built on this? I mean, if you're going to count time, then you got it right here in this verse. We count day and night. We count seasons. And by the way, in Florida, it's getting kind of hard to know what the season is. I thought the other afternoon, I got home before dark, thought I'd get a little work done. I walked by the thermometer. It was 84 degrees. I thought, what in the world is that doing here in January? But that's true. And my grandma, I'm always quoting grandma, because in our house, she lived with us, and she had a few things right in the Bible that she quoted, and she also had her own version of some things that I found out later were not in the Bible. But she would say this. She'd say, before the end of time, you won't know one season from another. Well, in Florida, we could almost say that's fulfilled sometimes. But anyway, here this verse tells us that God did expect us to look at some things and see them as signs. Now, I'm going to reemphasize this one more time. As believers, we're expecting the mysterious catching away when the trumpet blows for the saved. And we're not looking for a sign to say that's about to happen. It could happen anytime. But we are seeing that the things predicted before the second coming, when every eye will see him, when he comes back in judgment, when he comes back in his glory, there's a lot of signs given before that will take place. And just by reasoning, logic, if we can see those signs taking place, and that coming is over here, then looking for the earlier coming, for the rapture, it certainly ought to excite us that if we're seeing signs for the distant coming, then the more immediate coming must be closer. Now that's common. I remember as a kid when we'd take a trip in a car, after we'd made the same trip long enough, I began to recognize certain places along the road that told me I was getting closer to the destination. So that's logical that you would look in the Bible and make the same conclusion. Signs here is talking about days, night, seasons, years. And while a lot of folks go to seed on them and make a lot of mistakes, a lot of supposition, a lot of theory, and therefore oftentimes a lot of error, there are things that we certainly recognize. How many of you ever planted a garden by looking at the farmer's almanac? Huh? Now, it may not always be perfect, but it comes to some pretty good conclusions. And a lot of the old folks, they didn't plant if things was not right. If the moon wasn't right or something else, they didn't do it. I never did understand all that. Again, I go back to Grandma. Grandma had those things down pat. And if you were going to plant something, she'd predict whether it was going to work or not, depending on the signs she was going by. She would aggravate me a little bit sometimes because it would appear she was right. I remember we lived in the house that's still standing right behind the hotel. I was in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, living in that house. And there was only one dentist in town. It's been long enough ago I can describe him without you know who I'm talking about. Only one. And he had a drinking habit, a big one. And I remember that I had an aching jaw tooth, really bad. And I had to wait several days because we were poor. Daddy was off on the road with the truck, and until he sent a check home, I couldn't get that tooth fixed, couldn't get it pulled. And I spent, anybody ever pack an aspirin on a tooth? You try that? You know, just do whatever you could do. That's what I was doing. On top of that, my girlfriend had broke up with me, and one I supposed was my girlfriend. So I had an ache in my heart and an ache in my tooth. And they were both driving me nuts there for several days. And I told Grandma, as soon as Daddy sends us some money, I'm getting a tooth pulled. She said, you can't have it pulled now, son. The signs aren't right. I said, what? She said, you'll bleed to death if you have that thing pulled until the signs get right. Now, Mother didn't insist that was true, but she didn't insist it wasn't. Finally, Daddy sent some money, and I remember it, $5. I had a $5 bill to go get that tooth pulled. I walked about 3 blocks to that one dentist office in town. Nobody was in there. That ought to have been a cue to me right there. Nobody was in there except the dentist and his wife. I'd take you to where the house, it was like a house made into a dentist shop. And it's gone now, but the house I was living in is still over there. I walked in, she went in the back to get the doctor. Now, I know what she had to do. She had to wake him up, sober him up, get him a cup of coffee, and get him out there to pull my tooth. And he come out, put me in the chair, and give me a shot of something, and started to pull that tooth. And he got a hold of the wrong tooth. He got a hold of a good tooth, not a bad one. I remember it so well. And I'm going, no, no, you know, I'm fighting him. Well, I'm only, what, barely 13 if that old, 12, 13. And he pulls it anyhow. And he fusses at me. Why'd you fight me? I said, you pulled the wrong tooth. He looked and saw he did. He pulled the one side of the rotten one, the one that needed to come out. And he said, well, I'll pull the other one free. No, I'll take it back. He said, I will fix the other one. And he grabbed that drill. He said, I'll fix it free. Oh, that was terrible. That thing popped through like an eggshell. And I saw all the universe. I saw all the signs of the galaxy. I traveled through space. That's what it felt like. He couldn't save it. Then he had to pull it. Well, I went home with two teeth holes in my head, bleeding. You want to see where they are? All right, I'm playing with you now. But Grandma was right. It bled and it bled and it bled. And Mama would pack it with stuff, and it just wouldn't quit bleeding. And Grandma would keep saying, I told you the signs were wrong. I told you. She made a believer out of me, buddy. She made me get salt water and wash out my mouth with salt water, and then they'd pack it back. All right, don't you feel sorry for me? But anyway. Anyway, Grandma went by the signs, and there's a lot of the old farmers and others, man. I mean, that was the thing. And I don't know exactly how they figured them out in all that business, but I do know that Grandma was pretty accurate on that one. And when I look in the Bible now to see Bible signs, I want to tell you some Bible signs are really legit. For instance, let me give you one you'll recognize. How about in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, you remember how the prophet over there said that a virgin would conceive. Go with me to it. I'd like for you to see it. In fact, it's Sunday school. We use our Bible a little more because I don't have to get to a certain point before I quit. I'd like to, but I don't always do it. And so if you look over in and it ought to be marked really, if you've had your Bible any length of time, mark this verse. Verse 14, Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you what? A sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, y'all got to understand, this is about 800 years before Christ was born. That's a pretty good guess on it. Now, those that hate the virgin birth, don't believe Jesus was God incarnate, they say, well, and the modern version of the Bible will not say virgin, it'll say young woman or young maid, and trying to destroy it. Well, hey, it wouldn't be a sign. Young maids have babies all the time. Young women have them all the time, but virgins don't. And when a virgin has a baby, then that is a sign. That's not only rare, it's totally impossible. So they'll say, well, that's not what it means. It just means that this young girl's going to have a baby. No, no, no. If you go now with me, leave Isaiah. Go back with me to the first book in the New Testament. Go back with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. I had a liberal say this. I showed him this. He said, well, I don't know why. I said, well, how about in Matthew? Don't it say a virgin? Well, I don't know why it does. Well, I'll tell you why it does. Because the sign was being fulfilled. So I go to Matthew chapter 1, and I look over here, and I see in verse 23 of Matthew 1. Now, remember, the angel is given the message. And In verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So you know what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. So Jesus came to be God with us. He was God incarnate in a human body in the flesh. So here's a sign that was given 800 years before Christ was born, and now you have the fulfillment here. And of course, we just finished Christmas time, and a lot of talk about that went on. So God does give us signs, and we can go in the Bible and see where many of them were given and then when many of them were fulfilled. And we can easily see that. Now, the Jews were people that were always after God to give them a sign. And God did give them a sign quite often. There was signs to the Jews when they went out of Egypt and spent the 40 years in the wilderness and so forth. And all up through the Bible, you find oftentimes God did give the nation of Israel a sign. Jesus said when he was on the earth, you remember how the Pharisees, the religious Jews, were always after him, persecuting him, trying to catch him in his words. And Jesus said to them, he said, the Jew seeketh after a sign. Well, they did, by the way, they still do. How many of you heard in the news this week that Ariel Sharon passed away? You know who he was. He was the prime minister of Israel. Been laying in a coma now for 8 years. With the Jews, that's significant because they do a lot, study a lot on the numbers. And by the way, the Bible is full of prophecies that concern numbers. One whole book in the Bible is titled Numbers. So numbers do have meanings, and God uses them. But Jesus speaking to the crowd there in his day on earth when he was walking around and they were trying to trap him up in his words. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, if you want to look there, Jesus is talking to them. And he says in verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. All right, they're saying, if you're the Messiah, give us a sign. If you're God in the flesh, give us a sign. And so they said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Look at it in verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. By the way, let's make that application to ourselves today. We don't need a sign to believe. We don't need a sign to know Jesus is coming. But we want to be careful we don't fit into this category. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and that's what the religious crowd was that was trying to trap him up then. There shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. We call him Jonah. This is just translated into English here, Jonas. Then here's the sign that he points out. The only sign he said I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonas. Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. By the way, that's what Jesus said, that he was in the whale's belly. So when you have the skeptics today that says, how can a whale swallow a man? I don't know, but I don't want to be out there trying one. Right? Looks to me like he wouldn't have much trouble. But anyway, they say, but a whale has a strainer in his throat. Well, if you read over in the book of Jonah, it says God prepared a great fish. Maybe he had a freak whale born without a strainer. Couldn't that happen? Huh? Anybody ever seen a two-headed snake? Huh? Okay. I'm just saying God prepared a fish. Now, I don't know what he did, but he prepared him to swallow Jonah. So when Jesus called him a whale, that's good enough for me. So it says here, 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now that's his burial, right? Now what's he saying is the sign? Remember, Jonah went into the whale, but he didn't stay there. In a sense, Jonah had a resurrection. The whale spit him out. Even the whale couldn't stand such a backslider as Jonah. Amen? Anyway, he spit him out. And Jesus said, I'll be like Jonah 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth while he was down in the bottom of the whale, and the whale was in the bottom of the ocean, so forth. He said, that's the only sign. So what is the sign? He said Israel would have the resurrection. See, they still can't get over that today. I've been over there and had the Jewish guides try to explain, you know, no, he rose. And the whole world knows he rose. And that's a sign they can't get over. So Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the resurrection. And they can't get over that one. I remember we were walking over in Israel with a guide. And, of course, you know, the tomb there in the garden, it's a carved out hole in the cave-like carved out in the mountain. A rich man, as the Bible says, had done it. And we called it Gordon's tomb because General Gordon of England discovered it. And of course, a big stone was rolled over it. Now, the stone, when you and I think about it, we need to understand this is the way they did graves. They would have a stone that looked like a millstone. It looked like a great big wheel. And it rolled in a channel, in a trough. And it took several men to roll it over the face of the tomb. Now, there were some other graves in Israel that was done the same way. Other wealthy men that could have one carved out and have a stone like that built for their tomb. And so we were in the garden there and we saw it. Later on, we were somewhere there around, can't think where it was right now, but we were at another place and we saw some graves, and the guide pointed out this. He said, now you see that one there, and it was a little bit smaller, but it was a cave carved out, and it had a stone and a channel rolled over it. And he said, see there, these graves were common. Now here's what he was saying. He was a Jew. Unsaved, didn't know Christ as the Messiah, and he was trying to make the point to us Christians, don't make so much over the tomb of Jesus. There's others like it, is basically what he was saying. And he said, so say, here's one just like the one in the garden, just like the Jesus tomb. And I raised my hand. He said, what? I said, not quite like it. I said, because the one in the garden was empty. This one's got bones in it. He didn't argue. That's the resurrection sign. They can't get over it. They just can't get over it. And the truth is, the Lord Jesus gave them that sign. Now, we have, excuse me, this throat this morning. We have some signs that are close signs, and then we have some that will be fulfilled immediately and some fulfilled far away. I don't think the devil likes what I'm talking about this morning. Anyway, you need to watch that when you're studying the Bible. Sometimes a sign is sort of a double barrel. Some of it happens right now. Some of it will be fulfilled later. And people get a little bit confused on that. Sometimes much of it is fulfilled, and then later on, details will come back and finish it up. Excuse my coughing. All I can do is cough to talk here this morning. But a lot of signs are given in the Bible for various reasons, and it's legit to have them. Just don't go crazy over them. Now, when it comes to people that are trying to predict their life through the stars and through the planets, and they're concerned about their chart, whether or not they're in the zodiac and all that business, watch out for that. We have in our area, and always have had, always will have, what's called fortune tellers. Now, no Christian has any business going to one of those places. I'll say this quickly. Most of them are fake, but some of them have a demon in them, what the Bible calls a familiar spirit. And you don't want to take a chance. The one you go to just might have. And people have this crazy idea that if I go to a place and they tell me something and it comes true, it must be of God. You can't understand the devil baiting the hook for you. Huh? There are folks that can't go get up in the morning and have peace about going to the grocery store if their horoscope doesn't read it for a good day. That's right. And the best thing for them to do is stay in bed. They're afraid to go outside because something bad's predicted in their horoscope. Now, that's just pure junk, folks. You ought to let that stuff alone. That's of the devil's side. You better be careful. And I know a lot of it's faked. I think about the little kid that went with mom and dad to a fortune teller. And they went in a kind of a dark room, and she had a crystal ball, and she had a funny dress on, and kid was sitting at the table with mom and dad, and she was giving them a reading, telling them, answering their questions. And I think the mother wanted a question from Uncle so-and-so that had died, and so she conjured him up and gave an answer and got an answer from somebody else, and she was just feeding it to him. And the little boy kept saying, "I want to hear from Grandma. I want to know what Grandma says." And finally, the fortune teller couldn't quiet him down any other way, and so she pretended to talk to Grandma. And she said, "Now, Grandma said, be a good boy," or whatever. And the little boy said, "Oh, Grandma, good to hear from you. I didn't know you were dead." So it shows the fakery of it sometimes. Amen. You got to watch out for that. But some of them do. They are connected to the devil, and you're treading on places where God tells you not to. The Old Testament tells you not to try to talk to the dead. Did you know that? Necromancy, it's called. And yet that's a big thing in our culture today. All of that stuff. I don't want to get off on that too much. Come on back with me a little bit. Look with me if you want to. I was talking about signs being fulfilled close and being fulfilled far away. Go with me to probably the most famous chapter in the Bible that people go to when they start talking about the signs. You go over to Matthew chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus has been asked the question, and he's talking. Now, rightly divided Matthew 24 is very important, because a lot of people make a lot of error. Now, I'm going to say this. Matthew 24, basically, though you can read it into it in a place or two, because you know about the rapture, you know about the calling away of the church, but Matthew 24 is basically giving signs concerning what we call the tribulation period and the end of the tribulation period when Jesus comes back in judgment. Now, that's not the rapture. You and I that are saved are expecting, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, to be called away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. It's not talking about Revelation 1:8, when Christ comes back in his glory and every eye will see him. It's not talking about when the tribes of the earth will mourn in fear because Christ is coming. That's his coming in glory. That's the real second coming. And so when you get to Matthew 24, be very careful that you don't not rightly divide it. Rightly dividing is so very important. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24 has gone up to the temple, left the temple. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives in verse 3, very place that he's going to come back. When he comes back, that's where his feet's going to land, on the Mount of Olives in the second coming, when he comes back in his glory with the armies of heaven. But now he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Things he's been talking about. "And what shall be the sign?" There's the word sign again. "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, that's two questions. One is the sign of your coming. The other one is the end of the world. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to give them some stuff here. And he first warns them in verse 4 to let no man deceive them. Then he says a lot of them will come in his name to deceive many, verse 5. Then he says in verse 6, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, we know about wars and rumors of wars. We understand that very well. And we understand big time today. and probably one of the biggest wars, at least one of the most disastrous wars for the human population, is yet future, and I don't think very far future. But all of that is a sign of his coming in glory. Look at it in verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation, a kingdom against a kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. By the way, did anybody feel the earthquake this last week? How many of you knew one happened? Edge of Cuba. They claim they felt it pretty good in South Florida, Key West, and up South Florida, even Sarasota, and some said even in Tampa they thought they had a little shake. That's unusual for Florida. We don't generally have anything like that. But notice what he says in verse 17. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And then the last three words, in divers places. Now here's the prediction. Anybody that's done a study on earthquakes in the last few years know how they have tremendously increased. But at the same time, it says divers places. Now that means different. There's a lot of places that are fairly famous for earthquakes, like California. But there's a lot of places that don't have them. Florida hardly ever has had anything that you could hardly call an earthquake. But divers places means they're going to be showing up in places they never have before. And according to the Word of God, there is a great big, biggest of all, earthquake yet in the future predicted. Now, I think it'll come after the saved are called out. I think it'll come in what we call the tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble. And so I'm not excited much about the earthquake business, even just to say that I do know, and this is scientific records, how tremendously they have snowballed. Somebody here in church printed me out papers about that thick several years back of the increase of earthquakes, and to see how they'd increased in the last 100 years, yet doubled again in the last 50 years, and doubled again in the last 25 years is tremendous to see. And somebody says, well, it's just because we can keep records of them better now in the world. Maybe so. But it's quite interesting that everybody in the scientific world, whether they believe in God or not, they know the earthquakes have increased.